I want to give all the glory to the Almighty God and to thank the leadership of this great ministry for giving me this opportunity. I do not merit it, but I believe God qualifies the unqualified, and I believe He can use any vessel. So this morning, all I need from you is to give rap attention. I may not be preaching. I am here to deliver the, you know, that diagnostic report of the laboratory, you know, test carried out over your life, over my life. And not only to declare it, but to also take you to the laboratory, to the theater, and do divine surgical operation, and ensure that whatever you need to have that was not there will be implanted, imputed in you, as it takes away what needs to be taken away, in the name of Jesus Christ. The last preacher read the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and I'm taking my movement from there, from verse 20 to 22. He says, the harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am my hurt. I am black. Astonishment had taken hold of me. 22. He says, is there no palm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? Why? Why? Why then is the daughter of my people, the health of the daughter of my people, recovered? Recovered. In other words, why is it that after all that you have been hearing right from the beginning of the year, and all that we're hearing in this ministry, certain things are still missing in our lives? How come? Is there no balm in Gilead? Today, you just come out of the hospital where God dished out to you healings. If you believe you have been healed, lift your hand and say, yes. But there's something that may have caused your sickness in the past. Not everybody you see in the hospital actually had some, you know, physical sickness. That's why he said that they have carried out all the tests in some people's life, and they just realized that they couldn't discover anything. Why? Because the matter is spiritual. This morning, I'll be discussing with us on the topic that you found on your program. That is a conscience update. Can you say it with, together with me? Say it again. Now, the conscience is the custodian of the secrets of your life. I've started, the diagnostic now. Is the custodian of the secret of your life. And when it matters, it will rise up to witness for or against you before God and before the people. Most of the time, what we go through, the challenges of life, our attitude, action, and even our health may be as a result of the kind of conscience that we are keeping. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16. The Bible says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward a man. The moment your conscience is having problem and is becoming sick and is no longer in alignment with the word of God and the will of God, physical sickness, spiritual sickness, moral sickness, mental sickness, all kinds of that, distractions will begin to come. In fact, it can lead to death. It can lead to death. By way of digression, look at the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. You know the story, you know, sons of consolation sold theirs and brought everything to the apostles' feet. And this, you know, other one kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived in thy heart this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. His conscience was not straight towards God. Now, verse 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Peter used dagger and struck him. Am I right? Oh, Peter shot gun at him. Am I right? Peter stabbed him at the heart. No. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men rose. You can read further. The wife also came later. Now, what happened? His conscience killed him. Who killed him? Do you know that some of you cannot stand straight before some people? Your conscience is the one bending you. Some of you cannot stand straight before your wife. Your conscience is killing you. Some of you cannot stand straight before your husband. Some children cannot stand straight before their, you know, parents. Their consciences. And this is what God wants to cure today. And one that your conscience is taken care of, you'll be free from so many, many things. And you walk free. You walk free. By the time we are done here today, whether you are hearing me from the headquarters here or any other center, I tell you the word of God and I lie not. You will be free today from that guilty conscience in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there comes a time in the life of a man when his, you know, conscience is on fire. On fire. That time, your conscience is asking for a redress. Your conscience is asking for an update. Your conscience is craving for something. And he's saying, no, don't drown me. I am drowning. Do something. Bring me out. Liberate me. Open up. Say something. There are people who are pining away. All kinds of things happening on the inside. And it's reflecting on the outside. No matter what they eat, there's no fatness. There's no satisfaction. Why? Because their consciences are killing them. Food will not satisfy that conscience. And you may try to bribe your conscience. But I tell you, if your conscience is on fire and is in alignment with the word of God, you cannot bribe your conscience. So, observe the following circumstances that are directly or indirectly involved in the matter of conscience under conviction. Number one, the faith level. If your faith level goes low, your conscience may perform low. But when you build up your faith, your conscience rises up. Again, two, the environment where you live. When you subject yourself to, you know, all kinds of banters, you know, jest, and there's no more seriousness, the word of God is no longer taking hold of you, your conscience can go low. Again, the pressure of friends around you and colleagues not to do the right thing. If you work in an office where everybody is doing something that is wrong, if you are not careful, the tendency to, you know, dance to the tune they are playing there is there, and your conscience will be defiled. The power that is responsible for your conviction. If the Holy Spirit is responsible, except you decide to quench the Holy Spirit will not allow you to be silent. Your conscience will keep, you know, talking. Now, the conscience can be silenced. Even though it's the policeman, God's policeman, that is within our breast, our heart, it can be silenced. You can decide to turn deaf ear to your conscience. If you turn deaf ears to your conscience, the challenge is that before too long, you no longer will be able to acknowledge even when God is, when your conscience is screaming. I know our parents are here, and some of us know when a child has been beaten and that child cry to a point, you just be, it can no longer come out. Your conscience, some people's conscience have been, you know, stricken with hot iron, and it's no longer alive. May God bring your conscience live today. Some others, because of the noise of praise around them, wow, you are our man. You are the man of the hour. Come on, ride on. That's why a good number of our, you know, politicians today, conscience is dead. When they are telling them, even though things are going wrong, everything is going bananas, they no longer could discern because their conscience have been seared. So, notwithstanding, the conscience is never quiet. You can silence it, but it's still shouting. You can beat it to a point where it no longer can hear, but it doesn't mean that it's not talking. When you come to atmosphere like this, your conscience will be revived. And I believe God that today your conscience will wake up in the name of Jesus Christ. If your conscience is sick, your entire spiritual life is sick. Your entire life is a nullity. A dead conscience resides in the soul of a dead man. Dull of hearing. Dead to the will of God. Now let's look at understanding the workings of the conscience. The conscience works with a level of the truth. Somebody say truth. The level of the truth, the level of the light and righteousness that is available to the conscience. That's the reason when you remove yourself from where the truth is spoken, when the light is shining, where righteousness is practiced, and you go to a place, that's why we see some of our brethren, after leaving, you know, maybe they left the shores of Nigeria, you see them later, wow. You will scream, can this be the sister I know? Can this be the brother I knew? He's the same man. What has changed? The conscience had died. Or he had deliberately silenced the conscience. How does it work? It works with the light. The conscience is powered and empowered by sincerity, the truth, and the undiluted message from the genuine heart. Your heart must pass message to your conscience. The conscience can be deadened, can be deafened. All right? The conscience can be defiled by giving attention to and practicing things contrary to the truth that has engaged the conscience. I told you I'm giving the diagnostic analysis before I make, you know, one or two points and we'll be done. Some people complain and argue about the existence of God. What has gone wrong? Their consciences. Something had gone wrong. I met some students in UST, now RSU, several years ago. I went on evangelism, and I went to the hostels. I went to visit one of our converts, so-called convert. And when I got to the hostel, I said I was asking for brother so-so-so. The boy started laughing. They laughed me to a point that I was ashamed of myself. I said, is there anything wrong with me? Maybe I'm smelling. No, I wasn't smelling. I later asked. They said, okay, bro, it's not around. And they laughed again. Finally, they asked me the question. That's where I'm going. Oga Pastor, do you think there is God? And when I went on to discuss with them, one of them said, I beg. Actually, I was a Christian, fervent Christian, before I came to university. But when I came and joined this, you know, people in this atmosphere, this environment, that's when I started getting, you know, that boy, that day, I believe he received the word of God. But what am I trying to say? The atmosphere you are can make you, you say, somebody who had preached on the pulpit like ours today, God forbid tomorrow, can suddenly come up to say, there's no God. Everything that I did when I was there, I did it in ignorance. What has died? No, please, church, help me. What has died? Somebody who believed at one time. One wife, one man, one wife, suddenly can wake up and say, this woman is a witch. That man is a wizard. What has gone wrong? May your conscience come under fire today. May your conscience come back alive today in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, remember Adam was not deceived. It was evil. And because Eve followed, fell, he took Adam along. That's why evil communications corrupt what? Good. Who are your friends? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, the fact is, all truth is parallel. They say, show me your friend, and I'll tell you who you are. Now, let's look at your conscience as a product of so many things, including the following. Your level of conviction, your conviction. Do you have conviction? The Bible said you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Your knowledge of the truth will make you free. Your friends, what you delight greatly to do in the secret and in the open, there are things you do in the secret, and when it's not checked, you are bold to do it in the open. When it is not checked, you know it's not in alignment with the word of God, but because you did not check it, then you cannot come out and do it. What you delight in to do. Again, the sins that are so easily beset you. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses that you are trying to dodge and ignore. Sometimes you meet some people, some pastors, and something is telling you that what you are doing is wrong. And you brave it. Especially when the pastor or the men who should correct you refuse to talk. Then you brave it. You say, yeah, if you cannot talk, that I'm doing it. And you now try to look for people to line behind them. After all, so other person is doing it. Somebody's wife is doing it. Even a pastor's wife is doing it. A pastor's son is doing it. A pastor is doing it. Is that what you are going to present before God? These witnesses, of cloud of witnesses around us, he said, let us lay aside. Someone say, lay aside. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. It's all right. So, Jesus is our example, and so we must do everything to make sure that our consciences are what? Updated. And may your conscience be updated today in the name of Jesus Christ. Your immediate environment where you freely express your weakness with boldness is not a plus. You express your weakness with boldness is not a plus. But are people who, yes, thank God I'm no more there. Some people by marriage, they say, praise the Lord. Pastor Cletus will not bug me again. I don't know who again bugs you. You say, thank God I'm free from them. You are not free from us. It's your conscience that you have already deadened that is excusing you. Now, there are quotes. I'll leave that for the end. I'll look that for the end. Now, what is the definition of terms? What is a conscience? I'm teaching now. What is a conscience? Your conscience is the internal alarm system. Internal alarm system. It can also be called inner moral compass, internal alarm system, or inner moral compass that God has by his grace placed on the inside of us. And it is meant to check and balance our compliance with the truth. I told you earlier, with the truth, our compliance with the truth, our compliance with the light, and the righteousness of God. So it is meant to reprove us when we are going off course and to encourage us when we are in alignment with the right course pattern. That is conscience. When your conscience is alignment with the word of God, the truth, alignment with the light, and alignment with the practice of righteousness, then you are good. You are good to go. But there are so many things that are fighting the conscience. We'll get there. What does it mean to update? To update is to bring something up to an acceptable standard to serve the purpose for which it was created or invented. So to update. If your conscience is no longer measuring up to standard, is no longer fulfilling the purpose for which it was created, then there's need for update. So what is conscience update? Conscience update has to do with a conscience plus what? Update. That means an ongoing recalibration and repositioning of your IAS, that's internal alarm system, or the IMC, which is the inner moral compass, in the human makeup, such that the conscience is realigned with the truth of the word of God, realigned with the light of God, of the gospel, realigned with the righteousness that, you know, exalt a nation. So, this certainly involves a process that begins with self-examination. Self-examination. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Know ye not yourself, how that the Spirit of God dwell in you, except ye be what? Reprobate. And some consciences have gone to the point where it's no longer in alignment. Why the conscience update? Why do we need it? Number one, because the conscience can be defiled. Titus 1:15. The conscience can be defiled. Titus 1 verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is what? Defiled. When your conscience is always, you know, aligning with things that are unrighteous, that are no longer true, and is in darkness, then your conscience can be defiled. Again, your conscience can be perplexed. Look at the book of Luke chapter 9, 7 to 9. Your conscience can be perplexed. In fact, verse 9. Just take verse 9 alone. Luke chapter, yes. He said, and Herod said, John, have I beheaded? Something happened. They heard something, a news. And immediately his conscience said, ah, come, I have killed John. But who is this person now? Jesus is talking about someone. Who is this person? I've killed John. The conscience immediately screamed. But who is this? Of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And that was Jesus. His conscience was perplexed. A conscience can be seared with a hot iron. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. The Bible says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. A seared conscience is a conscience that is dull, deadened, no more alive, seared with hot iron. Some consciences can be weak as a result of the activities they engage the conscience with. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 7. The Bible says, how be it? There is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is what? Defiled. So your conscience can be weak by what you expose yourself to. Then Romans chapter 2 verse 15. Actually the entire, you know, book of Romans chapter 2 from verse 1 to 15 should have been read, but I am reading verse 15. Say, we shew the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. Okay? Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts, they mean why? Their thoughts, they mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So your conscience can excuse you. Your conscience can also accuse you. If your conscience is still alive, it will accuse you when you do wrong thing. And if your conscience is alive still, he will excuse you when you do the right thing. But when your conscience now excuses you when you are doing the wrong thing, Huh? And does not accuse you when you do wrong thing, then you have problem. You need conscience update. Tell somebody, you need conscience update. What you should know is you must align your conscience with the truth, with the light and righteousness. Don't ever allow it to drift, because drifting away may cause you problem. Now, it can be drifted by the current culture, what is happening around. After all, others are doing it. It can also be drifted by convenience. Convenience. Now, people who remain in sin because of convenience. We went to preach somewhere several years ago, myself, one of our pastors, not with us now. And after preaching, all the students in that, you know, institution or in that institute, everybody, all of them women, they were crying, some tears rushing out, others mucus coming out of nose, some saliva coming. They were crying. But when it got to the point of, will you give your life to Christ? How many of you raise your hand? Everybody raise their hands. But one girl decided not to and was still crying. What was she crying for? And there are people in the church here. You cry when the word of God is preached. Change now. Mba. Take the right step now. Mba. This girl refused to change. And at the end of the close of the meeting, I took, you know, time to go to her and say, my sister, I saw you really were convicted. And she said, it is true. Everything we're not talking, not true, eh? Not true. But no way we are going to leave the boyfriend where they sponsor me for this school. Which boyfriend is sponsoring you in school? And I told her, Jesus will take care of you. He said, that story is long. Except you or your other partner. We then said, we never marry. I say, this one, this handshake is going beyond what? It's getting to the elbow. I carry my King James and we escape. Brethren, it's not a laughing matter. You may be here and you excuse yourself because of a man, because of a woman, because of a friend, because of the work you are doing. The man that drove me the day I wedded was a driver of one of our, you know, mothers. And after the wedding, several, you know, weeks later, I saw him coming from the other end. And actually thought he was born again. So when I saw him coming, it was, you know, slightly dark. He was blowing cigarette from away. As I saw him, I pretended, you know, there are some trainings we have. I pretended to not to even be myself. And by the time we are face to face, I said, my brother. He said, are they walk with Oyibo? So when you are walking with Oyibo, Nasiga, you go smoke, conscience is gone. I said, I thought you gave your life to Christ. He said, it is true, but I don't take him back. No, don't laugh. Don't laugh, brethren. Have you not taken your own back? Is it because your own was not exposed? Have you not taken your life back? Is it because you are still coming to church? Conscience dead. So, now let's look at the guilty conscience. What does it do? Guilty conscience does not remain in alignment with the truth, the light, and righteousness. It will begin to function in reverse direction to its original purpose. Guilty conscience will relish in error, remain in darkness and unrighteousness, if unchecked and is not updated. Guilty conscience needs instant recalibration. Someone say guilty conscience needs immediate recalibration. May your own be recalibrated today in the name of Jesus Christ. Your internal alarm system needs to be intact. When your internal alarm system is no longer in order, you have ceased to be a Christian. I repeat, when your internal alarm system, your conscience is no longer alive, you are no longer a Christian. You can kill at that point. You can kill and you cover it up. Did we not see that one in the life of David? Well, let's go to David. Look at the book of 1 Samuel. Second Samuel. I think I should begin with 1 Samuel chapter 24. 4-7. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the days of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. His conscience worried him because he had cut off the skirt, Saul's skirt. Go on. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to. And that's exactly when your conscience is intact, when your conscience is alive, there are things you don't do. You don't try it. The same thing happened in chapter 26, 1 Samuel 10 to 12. Don't bother to read it. It's the same thing. But in chapter 26, 10 to 12, it was a spear and a water bottle of Saul that he carried. Again, he repeated, why will I do this thing? I won't stretch my hand against the anointed of the Lord. But do you know that it's the same man, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you read 1 to 27, I'm not reading it. You write it down. Of course, you know the story. David got to a point where the year when kings will go, to war. Okay, let me read one or two verses here. He said, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, verse 2, and they destroyed the... Go to verse 3. And David sent to inquire. He has seen Bathsheba. Okay. Inquire after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? 4. And David sent messengers. Come on. He was on top of the roof. He has seen something which you should not see. Will he not close his eyes and quickly go into his room? No. He came unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. 5. And the woman conceived. The other things are history. Read the rest. In the end, David did not know how to get this woman to his house. What did he do? He said, the husband, this unfortunate husband, must die. This was somebody who could not cut the skirt of his own enemy, avowed enemy, who had done everything to kill him. But when his conscience has started slacking, how many people have you killed? Directly and indirectly. Overtly and covertly. With your pen, with your biro. With your mouth backbiting. People who have opportunity to benefit from something because you hated them. You went there and you blocked it. And your conscience is still with you. Somebody wanted to marry. And you knew this woman had to marry. She had prayed. And a man came around to marry. And you went behind to spoil that woman. Oh God, my heart is heavy. Heart is heavy. What about somebody who just, showed interest? I want to help that brother. I want to help that sister. Say, oh, they are all lazy people. That statement alone paralyzed that opportunity. Jesus, have mercy. You are here. You are hearing my voice wherever you are hearing from. And your conscience, you see, carry the conscience and come. Stand on the pulpit or go and sing somewhere. Or minister, say, I'm an evangelist. I'm a this one, that one. My Father, have mercy. David, what went wrong with you? That was David. I've said it earlier. Who killed, Ananias and Sapphira? Their conscience. If you don't take care, this is the problem. If you don't take care of your conscience and align it today with the truth of the word of God, if you don't align your conscience today with the light of the gospel, If you don't align your conscience today with righteousness of God, no matter what it will take you, listen, that conscience will kill you one day. I'm not cursing you, please. It will kill you one day. And death is not only when you fall and you die physically. You can die as a Christian. Walking corpses. Walking corpses. So, conscience versus update. You know, instead of taking care of our consciences, sometimes we try to update. What does the conscience update, you know, involve? One, reviving of the conscience. Thank God later, David was confronted by Prophet Nathan. And he said, I have sinned. Thank God. What about you that have been confronted several times and you don't see yourself as ever sinning? The conscience update involves, it produces light and it walks in the truth and exhibits righteousness. When your conscience is updated, your conscience is sharpened. Conviction is sharpened. When your conscience is updated, you are encouraged to be free. When your conscience is also updated, it leads you to genuine repentance. May somebody repent today. I say, may somebody genuinely repent today in the name of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, system update. When your conscience is aligning with darkness and everything around, it dulls your, you know, sensitivity. It simply complies with the ongoing, you know, system of the world. Then the word of God in the book of 1 John 2:15 to 17 will not be fulfilled in your life. You now love the world and all the things that are in the world. And the Bible says, if any man loves the world, the love of God is not in him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God, the love of the Father is not in him. Go on. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17, say, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but the Lord, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May you wake up today. May I wake up today. May the church wake up today and do the will of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. So, updating your conscience means actively sharpening your inner moral compass, which I call IAC. To align it with what? The standard of God's truth, light, and righteousness. So how do we perform this? Quickly, one. If you read the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, let's quickly take that one. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 to 9. And the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If you want to update your conscience, you must humble yourself. Verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him. Why do people deaden their conscience? Because they believe that A can help them. So they can cross from party A to party B so that their conscience can be covered. You know, there are parties in the church. Oh, you think it's only APC and PDP and whatever we have in. There are parties in the church. The moment I align with, you know, Pastor Sule, maybe they will cover me. The moment I align with Pastor Badare, maybe they will cover me. Maybe and you go secretly trying to find, you know, comfort listening to me. The proper thing is, if you come that way and I know that something is wrong, I'll confront you. Why? Because I'll be doing the service to your soul. Casting all your care upon him, for he is the one that cares for you. Verse 8. He said, be sober. So if you want to, you know, update your conscience, you must be sober. Then you be vigilant. Watch out. Because your adversary, the devil, is not your friend, though. Roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. Verse 9. He says, whom resist? Do you want your conscience to be updated? You must stand up. You must stand out and become outstanding and resist the devil. With the faith of God in you, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, you must have your conscience updated. How do you update? By immersion. Word immersion. For recalibrating perception, you must get the word of God. The book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105. I think 105, yes? He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's look at 165 of that same chapter. 165. He said, great peace are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know why you are offended? Why you are harboring malice? Because you don't have the peace of God. The word of God is not there. You have lost something. Whatever you lost, may heaven restore in the name of Jesus Christ. What about the next one? Is prayerful reflection. For overcoming drift, so that you cannot backslide, you cannot draw to the other side, you must have the word of God prayerfully. Prayerful reflection. The book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1, very important. He says, and he speak a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So when you begin to faint in prayer, your conscience can die. Immediate obedience to avoid delay. Abraham was known for early obedience. Genesis 12, 1 and verse 4. Abraham moved when God spoke to him. Immediate obedience. Then the next one is holy resistance. I read the book of 1 Peter 5, 9 earlier. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is your conscience guilty? Cain, at a point, Genesis chapter 4, from 6 to 11, his conscience was worrying him. Instead of taking him to the word of God, he ended up killing his brother. My brother, you don't need to kill that man. You don't need to kill that woman. What will it add to you? Okay? It adds nothing to you. A guilty conscience is a bad feeling. Bad feeling caused by knowing that you have done something wrong. The cure to that is not to kill somebody. It's to come out to the light and confess your faults. You don't need to kill yourself. Confess. David said, I have sinned. And that's all that God is waiting for. I have sinned. Are you afraid that if you come to the general overseer to tell him what you have done, he will kill you? He won't kill you. Why are you dying in silence? If you can't approach him directly, his utensils are there. Come around. Unburden yourself. Be free. How don't you know you are dying? Something is killing you instrumentally. The sickness that is killing you presently may not be from the village. Because we are very fond of all the witches, all the wizards, all the demons. Not knowing that you are the same demon killing yourself. Witch hunting yourself. A guilty conscience sometimes can admit and plead guilty of the offense as charged. So sometimes, when it is hardened, you can't talk. You just want to die in silence. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, what are the things that kill the conscience? What are they? When you now allow the world to take over your life. Brothers and sisters, there are consciences too that can be seared. We have seen the guilty conscience. Apostle Paul described, a seared conscience in a concise without a feel, is a conscience without or sensitivity anymore. A conscience that has no longer feeling, more sensitive to what is wrong and right around. This means that the internal alarm system has stopped working. Is there anybody here this morning? Your internal alarm system has stopped working. It has collapsed. Today, I pray, heaven will revive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Heaven will revive it. And I decree, by the power of God, your conscience will wake up. I say your conscience will wake up in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what happens to, people that make their conscience to continue to haunt them? Because you no longer have any feelings in your spirit. You no longer discern the right from wrong. Then you begin to manufacture baptismal name for what is wrong. It's just an error, just a mistake. I have sinned is the solution. Then it is beclouded with unsettled inner confusion. When you are having such things, like David, tell God, I have sinned, and God will help you. It condones error, and the conscience that is already seared with hot iron condones error and compromises. So do you see any of these things? I told you I've just come to release the result of our conscience. And if your own, you have seen something in what you have said today, and you know that heaven needs to respond in your favor before somebody dies like Ananias and Sapphira. Where did they die? Sorry, where did they die? And we are the type that come all the time to the altar. In fact, if we allow this place open, some of you come here. If we allow you to enter, you go enter. Meanwhile, in the days of old, high priests, they will tie rope to them. Chain. Because you can die in the Holy of Holies. May you not die in your sin. Rise up on your feet. Let us pray. My God, what a morning. My God, what a morning. Oh, my God, what a morning. When my light begins to shine now, I can feel, see the face of Jesus. I can feel the Holy Ghost. And I know Christ is coming. And my night be turned today. Oh my God, my God. My God, what a morning. Oh my God, my God, what a morning. Oh my God. Have gone out of alignment. Your conscience no longer sever the truth, the light, and righteousness, which are the basic ingredients and nourishments that nourish our consciences. This morning, the theater is here. The great surgeon, Kaloro Brandisidu Sataya, is here present. The few minutes remaining, come to the altar. You know you have something to settle with God that has to do with your conscience. Come to this altar. Come to this altar. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy words. And his pain, oh, his Lord to me. God bless you. You're welcome. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer. Lord, oh Lord, to the bread. God, by the power of great divine. Oh yes, Lord, let my soul look up when I stand. Come on, Shelley, I got to be closer. Draw me. Oh, draw me nearer. Where are the others? Where are the others? Where are the others? Where are the others? There's somebody you denied his right. I'm speaking to somebody directly now. There is somebody you denied his right. And your conscience is telling you. This is the reason why you are where you are. You are where you are. You denied him his right. You denied her right. And heaven is not smiling at that. And you are complaining you are sick. You are complaining you don't know the source of your problem. Your conscience. Your conscience. Let me call on Pastor Komando again to come and pray for us. If you are still in a congregation and you know your conscience is sick, the surgeon is here to heal you. He's here to heal you.
Thank you for responding all over the centers. And we still want to appeal to those that by virtue of the Holy Spirit pricking their hearts, they are still resisting. They're between their chairs and the altar to take a decision that will free them. Sin is one of the greatest hindrances that can attack the conscience of a man. Spirituality against the dictates of God's word. For those of you out here, we salute this decision to update your conscience to be at peace with God. And may the God of Israel grant your petition. And whatever that has deformed your conscience, dented your conscience, seared your conscience, that from this moment, by virtue of your talking to God on this altar and telling God that you have presented yourself for a spiritual operation, let that operation take effect on that area of your life that often fights with your conscience in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we declare that from today, by virtue of that successful operation, your conscience will be right towards God and towards man. Lord, grant this very desire of your sons and of your daughters, and we declare them safe spiritually. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.